Amen. We want to continue with the series that I believe the Lord has laid on our heart. And if you would, turn to the 10th chapter of Matthew. Matthew 10. I was thinking of focusing on verse 28. We're talking about judgment, but in order to take verse 28 in context, let's see what Jesus was saying prior to this. Now, it's quite interesting. There is so much in this 10th chapter of Matthew that is comparable to the 24th chapter of Matthew. And I have to believe that Jesus said and repeated some of these things several times. I mean, this is just Matthew that's saying this, okay? If it were in Luke, and I can find these verses in Luke too, I would say, well, Luke, he was remembering what he said, when they were in Jerusalem and it was almost crucifixion time. But this is way before crucifixion time, amen? So let's look at the context. I'm going to go back to, Where do I go back to? Let's go back to verse 17. I'll just read some verses here. But beware of men. Amen?
Right, yeah.
How about that? Jesus said, beware of men.
Yeah.
That means men and women.
Yeah.
Okay. Beware of humans.
Amen.
Beware of flesh. Amen?
Yeah.
Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. Scourge means what? Whipped, beaten. Where are you going to get beaten? Out in the world?
No.
Or in the church?
Mm-hmm.
In the synagogues, in the religious places is where you're going to get your beating.
Right.
Okay? This is what Jesus is saying. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake for a testimony against them and the Gentiles.
Amen.
Amen? Now, he's making the contrast. The church, the false church, I should add the false church, the false synagogues, they're going to hate you. The religious system is going to hate you. Amen? And they're going to turn you over to the world system and try to get the world to persecute you too, all right? But it'll be a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Gentiles means the world, okay? But when they deliver you up, take no thought of how or what you will speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you think you ought to sit up all night writing out your speech before the judge?
No.
Amen?
No.
Now, the Spirit can be ministering to you all night.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? But when it comes that hour to stand before, amen, the Spirit will anoint you.
Amen.
All right? Now, I must confess, I haven't been in this situation yet. But I have to believe that this is what God has said. I believe the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You believe the Word of God, don't you? Amen. Let's hear that testimony. We're not going to take sides against the Word of God.
Amen.
For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Amen. You know, if it's just me that's speaking, I'm not going to be very good.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a failure.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Spirit of God is speaking in me, then God will say what needs to be said to that king or president.
Hallelujah.
Okay, or dictator or his representative. Amen. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death. What is this called? This is called the spirit of betrayal. I think the Lord revealed to us some time ago that the spirit of betrayal has been loosed. It's already loose. It's out there. It's been out there for a long time. I mean, it was happening back in the days of the disciples.
The same betrayal that Jesus
was
before between
them. Well, it's the same kind of division.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The brother against brother is because Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword, because the Word of God cuts.
Right.
And those that receive it are on this side, those that don't are on that side, and they hate the ones that are over here.
Right.
And they're going to go against them, and they're going to betray them. And it's coming to its fullness, yes. Everything in the Word of God has to come to a fullness. Amen. So let's go on. Deliver brother to death, and father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Now, you think this just happens in the land of Islam? They do that, yes. Islamic people, if they try to get out of their... I don't want to call it faith.
Right.
I don't know what to call it. Religious system or belief, yeah. It is a belief. I cannot call it faith, okay? Because faith is something a lot higher,
yes,
in its definition.
Amen.
than these false claims. Amen. All right, so it's going to happen among God's people.
Right.
In their natural families.
Mm-hmm.
Among the natural families. Do you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Where did we find that verse? Come on, help me out. Where else is that verse? Matthew 24. How many times did Jesus say this? He said it in Matthew 10. He said it again in Matthew 24. Somehow, I think Jesus wants us to know that we're going to have to endure to the end. That means no giving up halfway there. That means no giving up 90% there.
Right.
No giving up 99% there. He that endures to the end, 100%, is the one that's going to be saved. Come on, we're going to have to work out our salvation to the very end.
Amen.
It's also in Mark.
In Mark, and I think you'll find one just like that in Luke somewhere. Witnesses, come on, they have more than one witness of this word. Amen. But when they persecute you in this city. Now, you say, Brother Mark, I thought we were talking about the coming judgment. We are.
Yeah.
We're talking about the prelude to this. When they persecute you in this city, amen, flee ye unto another.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you don't get off the hook just because they don't want you there.
Mm-hmm.
You're still called. You're still called to proclaim the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Oh, they didn't want to hear me over in the fifth ward. Well, then go to the third ward. Preach it over there. I don't know. Do we have wards here in Schenectady? I know they have them in Amsterdam. They're all divided up into wards, you know. The third ward, and they have a councilman from this ward and that ward and some other ward. Cities sometimes do that. Hey, it doesn't have to be another city. It can be another neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
All right? It can be another street. It can be another house.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? All right. Flee ye to another, for verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. In other words, you're not going to finish everything. There's always going to be another place for you to go. To take it. Amen? The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Amen. Above his master. You know what that word master really means?
Teacher.
Above his teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Now, who's the master that got called Beelzebub?
The devil.
Jesus was called Beelzebub.
He was.
Yes, he was. They said he cast out devils in the name of Beelzebub.
But Jesus says, how can I do that?
And he told them basically that they were blaspheming against God.
Uh-huh.
In accusing, in assigning to the works of God, the works of the devil is blasphemy.
Beelzebub is the devil.
Beelzebub means literally Lord of the Flies.
Ah, really?
Baal, the word Baal means Lord.
Uh-huh.
But it's not used in the Bible in a very positive way. I mean, we have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ,
right,
but we don't call him Baal.
No.
It's really a different word that has come into English, and the English apparently only had one good word for that, and they use it for both speaking of God and Baal. All right, so Baal-zebub, Lord of the Flies.
Wow.
Which is, it's a lord of the underworld.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
So if they've called, in other words, Jesus is saying to his disciples, listen, they've called me that. Don't you be shocked if you get called that too, because I'm the master and you're just part of my household. They treat the master, they're going to treat the rest of the house just as bad. All right, he's getting you used to the idea that there's going to be persecution in this world. He's getting us used to the idea that the devil doesn't like us. And the devil is going to use the world, he's going to use your unredeemed family, he's going to use carnal Christians, amen, disobedient, rebellious people to come against you. He'll use whatever circumstance he can get through to you.
Uh-huh.
It's called persecution, all right? Amen. Fear them not.
Hallelujah.
Therefore, for there is nothing covered which shall not be revealed. How many of you really believe that?
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, you believe it because it's written, but do you believe it in every aspect of life?
Yes, amen.
There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. There is nothing hidden that will not be brought to light.
Amen.
And shall not be known. I just did the last part of that verse without realizing it. There's nothing hidden.
Amen.
Amen.
Everything shall be in the light.
Come on, brethren. Have you exposed every hidden thing of darkness in your life
hopefully
to the Lord,
hopefully,
so that the light can heal it?
Hopefully.
Are we perpetrating any more darkness? No, I know that's an awful question to ask, but we have to ask ourselves that question.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? You know, I tell you, here's why. You know, we're talking about darkness. I was reading again several chapters in Revelation last night, and he's talking about the sun. I think it's in the sixth chapter. The sun will become as dark as sackcloth of hair.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking, Lord, we're not just talking, but this has to be spiritual language. I mean, the stars are going to fall from the heavens to the earth. And I'm thinking, this has to be spiritual language. This cannot be natural. I mean, the things that we look out there and see as stars, some of these stars, these are suns. And some of them, what was that one, Rita? 100 times bigger than our sun? And our sun is, what, 100 times bigger than the earth? These things cannot hit the earth. They cannot fall to the earth in the natural realm. This has got to be spiritual language.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the earth is just a little tiny speck,
yeah,
compared to a thing as big as this room. Mm-hmm. We'd be vaporized in an instant.
Right.
No, it's got to be talking about spiritual things.
Amen.
Spiritual stars,
mm-hmm,
are going to fall like figs.
Mm-hmm.
But then the word came to me is what about the darkness, though? Why is the sun so dark and so covered? The sun represents God. How can God be covered? Because it's from the perspective of earth. Earth is becoming, what does Isaiah say? Gross darkness. Upon the earth, darkness upon the earth and gross darkness upon the people. So why is the sun darkened? Is because the people are shutting off the light of God.
Yes.
They are choosing that they don't want to see or hear from God. And this is why the gross darkness is coming upon the people. They are shutting it down. They shut it down in the schools. They shut it down in the courthouses. They're shutting it down in government. They're shutting it down everywhere they can shut God down. And this is why the darkness is increasing in this hour. Now, Jesus said here, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. So there is going to be light. See, in that verse in Isaiah, but the light shall arise upon you. In the time of great darkness, His light shall be upon the sons of God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, that's hope, brethren. Listen, that's hope. To me, that's more hope than that stuff that that guy in Texas is preaching about how he's so wonderful and God loves him and God loves you and God loves him and God loves you and God loves... I mean, come on. This is more hope than that. This is hope in a time of darkness that the light is going to be manifest in God's sons.
Yes, it is. Amen.
Amen. Just telling you that God wants you to be wealthy and rich isn't going to cut it,
No. Man.
I mean, I'm reading in the book, and it says that their silver and their gold isn't going to do them one bit of good.
They're going to throw it out.
Here's an evangelist. They say he's worth $40 million.
Yeah.
He's a preacher. He's got a big church. $40 million. What does a man need $40 million for? I couldn't figure out what to do with $1
million. Give it up.
I'd have to give it away.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about stars that are going to fall. Mm-hmm. These stars are going to fall.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Hollywood knows what stars are. The sports world knows what their stars are. And the religious world, we need to know what our stars are, and they're going to fall.
Yes, they are.
They're going to fall like figs off of a fig tree because the wind blew them off.
Yep.
All right, I'm getting off the track, but I'm still on the Word of God.
Isaiah 4.
All right, we're coming down here. What I tell you in the darkness, that speak ye in the light. Amen. Why? Because the light is going to be upon you and the light is going to be in you. And that's the light that I want you to speak in.
Mm-hmm.
In darkness. In darkness out there. All right. Now I know you think I twisted it a little bit. It means both. It means what I whispered to you, I want it blown out.
Yeah. Yes.
In the light. I don't want... Jesus is saying, I don't want things hidden.
No, not
the gospel. Not the word that I am preaching to you. I want it brought to the light.
Amen.
Even if men have darkness on their minds, bring it out to the light.
Mm-hmm.
And expose it.
Yes.
Amen. That's what the message of the kingdom is. It's exposing the hidden truths.
Right.
That were hidden once in darkness of the minds of men.
Yep.
That preach ye, what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. What I've whispered to you, you're going to go up on the housetop and shout it.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
Now, we're down finally to verse 28. Okay. He says, and fear not them which kill the body.
Yep.
Ouch.
Yeah, ouch.
The body.
Yes.
Amen. I got an ouch spot here. It hurt a rib. Amen. But it's only flesh. All it is flesh that hurts. Amen. Don't be afraid of those that can kill your flesh, your body.
Not at all.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Fear not, let me read it again. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul.
God's going to pull our soul.
Soul. Now, the soul of man has a spiritual nature to it.
Yes.
Without me calling it your spirit, we'll call it your soul. That's what the Bible says here. It says soul, it means soul, it's the right word here. The soul is your mind, your will, your desires, your emotions. That is your soul. Man cannot kill your soul. And you know what? It isn't just redeemed people that this is true for. It's true of every man. I'll never forget the testimony. I don't know if I still have this on a movie somewhere or what, or whether I gave it back or gave it away or somebody loaned it to me or something. It was a testimony of people that had been through the concentration camps in Israel. It was Hungarian people, in fact, that had been taken in the camps. Now, they weren't believers in Jesus Christ. But I remember hearing this one woman. She says, they took everything away from me. They took my house. They took my family. They took all my money. They took all my goods. They took, and she names all the things they took away. And then she's in the camp and she says, and they want my soul. But no, they're not going to have my soul. Now, she made no claim of Jesus Christ. But she still said, they're not getting my soul. No man can take my soul. Amen. She had that understanding. Amen. So, fear not them which are able to kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Who can touch the soul? Only God. See, and we're talking about judgment. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
Yeah.
Now the word hell here, let me see, verse 28, is Gehenna.
Yeah, Gehenna.
This is not Sheol.
Oh, okay.
This is not Sheol. Sheol, okay, I don't think that anybody's been sent to Gehenna yet. Because we're talking about the final judgment. Where, and I'll get to the verses if we have time. He says, where death and hell were brought up and sent to Gehenna. Death and Sheol, the place of the dead, the spiritual place where the dead are, is brought before the throne of God and judged, and then Gehenna, and it's the second death. You've heard this before, but it's kind of hard to figure it out. I know. You have to hear it several times to understand what it's saying here. All right. Jesus is talking about a judgment day. And he said, don't fear what man can do. He has no control whatsoever over the final day. But fear me, is what God is saying. Fear me. You want to fear something? Fear me, because I'm the one that controls what happens on that final day. Now, let's go back to some other verses. I think I was alluding to Revelation, the 6th chapter, and I hope I didn't quote the whole thing already for you. But we're talking about the opening of the seals.
Five.
Pardon?
Five.
Chapter 6. Now, let's look at the 6th seal. Okay? Because the 6th seal is the very last one that gets opened before the 7th. The opening of the 7th seal really sounds off the trumpets. All right? And by the way, there is a chronological order, but there's also an overlap. And there's an overlap between seals and trumpets, and I think there's an overlap between trumpets and vials. In other words, these are not to be seen as just, all right, pop the seals open. Okay, it took 1 minute. No, that isn't the way they are. We look at things as it's an event. It happened. It took an hour. Now it's over with. No, these things don't just come to an end. Just like they have a life of their own. All right. So let me show you what's happening here as the 6th seal is opened. Verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the 6th seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I think it's natural, and I think it's spiritual.
Yeah.
The earthquake.
Amen.
Because I do believe the earth is going to shake.
Yes.
In a mighty shaking, such as it has not ever shaken before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Listen to the description. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. This is also spiritual language. It's the word of God becomes dark in the land. The face of God is hardly seen at all anymore. The church, blood. Blood. Persecution. The moon is the church. Okay? And the stars of heaven fell to the earth. I already quoted that. Okay, we know it can't be natural. Even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Now, even the term wind, even the term wind here is a spiritual term.
Yeah.
It's not just a natural wind blowing. It's not just a hurricane. It's not just a tornado. It's a mighty wind of the Spirit of God. God is going to winnow out some things that don't belong. He's going to winnow out. God, the mighty wind of God is going to bring down a lot of those stars. We need to take heed where we're going to be here, brethren. All right? And the heaven departed as a scroll. Amen? Heaven means what? The spiritual realm. Shaking. Shaking of the heavens. Gone. Just like that. The spiritual forces that were once holding control over everything. Gone. Just like that. Vaporized. The system that the devil has in place that holds and puts bondage on all the governments of the earth. Just like that. Wiped away. And this is what causes the great fear among the mighty men. Listen to the rest of this. Like a scroll when it is rolled together. Here's heaven rolled up. Just roll it up together in one great big roll. It's gone. The spiritual nature that has ruled this earth just rolled up and gone. All right? And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Do you know what mountains and islands speak of spiritually? By the way, this could happen in the natural as well. But a mountain in spiritually is a great ministry. Big, big, powerful, mighty organization. Gone. Island, independent ministry. No, don't have that. No, we're independent. We're not part of this. We're not part of that. Mountains and islands moved. Gone. Shaken. Some of them are going to be put underwater. And it's going to happen in the natural, too. I'm not saying it's not going to happen in the natural. But the natural thing is going to speak of the spiritual thing that's happening. Okay?
It's like two extremes. Mountains, big and huge. Islands, when you see a balance.
Yeah. Okay. An island, you see, an island ministry is not part of the body of Christ. It's totally independent.
Yeah.
It answers to nothing.
Does its own thing.
It is not every joint supplied. It's maybe one man ruling the thing, and he's got his own independent thing, and I don't care what other people think or other people say. I'm independent.
Right.
That's an island.
Right. I don't need anyone.
Yeah, I don't need to be connected to anywhere.
Right.
All right. And the kings of the earth, see, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men. My goodness, they go a lot for the big shots here first, and then they finally come, and every bond man and every free man. But focus, first of all, on the kings and the captains and the rich and the mighty. Amen? What's happened to them?
They all went to a den.
Hid themselves in the dens or caves and in the rocks of the mountains. They hide themselves. Because why? They know that something has happened. They've lost their grip.
Yeah.
They've lost their hold. Amen. This is a mighty seal to be broken.
Oh yeah, amen.
Remember, only the Lamb could break these seals.
Right.
And open this up.
Amen.
Okay? And said to the mountains and rocks. Now, there's got to be spiritual language in here too. They went to the big religious organizations and they said, "Hide us."
Yeah.
I can just see some of these people going to the Catholic Church and saying, hide me, mm-hmm. Forgive me, I'll do this, I'll give that, I'll give this, just give me,
yeah.
Hide me from the wrath of God, speak a few words over. No, it isn't going to work.
No.
Amen? Hide us from the face of Him. The face. The face.
Amen.
What is the face? The countenance.
God.
What are the songs that we sing? the light of thy countenance. Let the light of thy countenance be upon me. See, this is our testimony. We want the light of his face upon us. They hate the light of his face because it is exposing the hidden darkness that's in their soul.
Amen.
And it's a terrifying thing.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's a terrifying thing to have it all exposed like that. Amen? That sitteth upon the throne and and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath, amen, is come, and who shall be able to stand? The great, see, God made man in his image. And he gave us a soul, and God has a soul.
Yes.
God is capable of wrath. Very capable. And perhaps he's the only one who can justifiably handle wrath.
Mm-hmm.
We have it, but we don't do well with it, do we? When we get angry.
He does better with it.
Now, he didn't say it's wrong for us to get angry.
Right.
But he said, be angry and sin not.
Amen. Yes.
Which means it's going to be a rare thing for human beings to be able to have anger and not to sin by it.
Right.
But God has a day of wrath.
Mm-hmm.
When he is coming in a form of judgment, and he's going to say, I'm going to reap the crop now.
Yes.
I've had it. I've had it up to here.
Amen.
With the wickedness that man has been doing. I've had it with the suffering of my saints. I've had it. I'm not going to put up with it any longer.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
In fact, speaking of which, those were exactly the words that he used to me when I was in the hospital. And I saw the pain on his face.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I asked him, did this come from the wicked Gentiles, thinking that crucified you? He held his hand out.
Mm-hmm.
Old scars, no new wounds.
Mm-hmm.
Old healed scars. He said, no, this came from the house of a friend, and I'm not going to put up with it much longer. There's things that God is not going to put up with much longer. That's what judgment is all about. Now, whether you show up before a great throne or not, it's still going to be judgment. It's still going to come. It's going to come in many, many forms.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Let me go to a few more verses, if I may. Zephaniah. Can we go to Zephaniah? Zephaniah 1. Oh, where is he? He's one of those last verses. It's just after Habakkuk and just before Haggai. Page
773,
Rita says. No, Zephaniah. Z-E-P-H. Chapter 1. 774, if your Bible's the same as mine. No, 773, actually. All right, so Zephaniah 1. I'm going to start in verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near. Now, how many years ago did this man write this? More than 2,000. Possibly close to 3,000 years ago. At least 2,500 years ago, he said it's near. 630, good. You got a Bible that tells the date on it. I used to have one that had the date too, but they took it out of this new one. In that neighborhood. 2,600 years ago, the man said the great day of the Lord is near. Why? Why did he write a thing like that? Why would he write that? Because God told him to write it. Tell people that it's near. You know, God wants us to always believe that his day is near, doesn't he?
Yes. Amen.
Just don't mark it on your calendar. But you can call it near. Amen. He wants us to believe it's near. He wants us to live as if it's going to happen tomorrow or later today. Amen. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. In other words, it's coming on fast. You know what? It's got to be more true today than it was when the man wrote it. It's hastening fast. Amen? Even the voice of the day of the Lord. What's that mean, the voice of the day of the Lord?
Noise.
The noise. So in other words, you can even hear it coming. Let me ask you a question. You that are spiritually sensitive, do you ever hear? Do you hear the things of God coming?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Some of you, I know you hear it.
Yes, I hear it.
I remember hearing a prophecy maybe 30 years ago.
I don't know if I
wrote it down or somebody sent it to me or something, but they said, in the prophecy, they said, the day of the Lord is near. I can hear it like the coming of hoofbeats of a horse's running.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear the noise.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear them coming. You know, have you ever been around horses years ago when people used horses a lot? These harnesses of these horses made these jingling, the chains would jingle as they would run. Even the workhorses would make these noises. And you could hear that coming.
Yes.
And you could hear the thumping of the earth of these giant horses that weighed a ton. You know, boom, boom, boom. Big Belgians and Clydesdales. You could hear it coming. This is what the prophet is saying. He said, there's a noise in the spirit. There's a spirit noise. Get used to hearing it. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to you.
Yes.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
The voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. Why are the mighty men going to cry bitterly? Why are these big time, big tough soldiers and the big time power, why are they going to cry bitterly? Because there is nothing they can do about it.
Right.
They are going to be helpless.
Yep.
They will not be able to turn it or stop it or change it one bit.
Amen.
Helpless. Nothing to do but cry.
Amen?
Amen? Now, I hate to sound so dramatic, but that's what this is. It is powerful. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress. A day of wasteness. What does that mean? Wasteness. Devastation. And desolation. What's the difference between devastation and desolation?
Not a whole lot.
Not a whole lot, but there is a difference. They're separate words. Devastation means that everything is ruined.
Mm-hmm.
Desolation means everybody's gone.
Oh.
It's desolate. There's nothing around anymore.
Right.
What is around is just a big old pile of rubble.
Yep.
Spiritually speaking now. But I think there's natural here too.
Right.
If any of you remember seeing the piles of rubble when the towers fell.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Devastation.
Right.
But it was also desolation.
Yes.
Amen? A day of darkness and gloominess. See, here's that word darkness again. Spiritual darkness. Amen? A day of clouds and thick darkness. Isn't this gross darkness?
Yes.
The prophet is seeing in the spirit here.
Yes. Yes.
He doesn't know how to write it except by using natural words that we understand.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? A day of the trumpet. Now, we don't know what trumpet means. What language would we use here? We're not used to this in New York, but out there where Rita grew up, out there in the neighboring states, Kansas, Oklahoma, what kind of trumpet do they use when danger is coming?
Alarm system.
The sirens at the fire stations.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Now, when you start hearing all the fire stations in all the towns wailing, the same wailing, you can hear one over here, you can hear one over here. This is what he's saying, a day of the trumpet. The trumpet, they would lift a trumpet to their mouth and the watchman would he'd blow that thing, and it was a warning to every man that heard that trumpet to take heed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Thank you, Heidi.
The day of trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. Fenced cities, fortified cities. You know what? There's another thing of fenced cities. It isn't just that they have walls. It's that they have security systems. They have TSA. They have everybody being searched. They have metal detected. I mean, this is our way of fenced cities today.
Mm-hmm.
This is our security. There, back in those days, just build a big old stone wall about 50 feet high and reinforce it and everything else. All right, we're safe now.
Mm-hmm.
But we have other ways now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to do the same thing. And the high towers, what happened to the high towers?
They came down.
They came down.
The fenced cities of Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
The high towers up there, the towers of Baal.
Sure.
Brothers, they call.
Yep. But our high towers came down too.
Mm-hmm.
And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make, amen, even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. How many of you believe God is going to clean the place up?
Amen.
Wickedness removed. How do you remove wickedness if men refuse to give up wickedness? You remove the men.
Yes.
Wow.
There's going to be a lot of removal. I tell you, when I'm reading in Revelation, and let's go back to Revelation for a little bit. Maybe we don't have time to finish in Revelation, but I think we got another message here yet. It's in the prophets. It's in the prophets, and the reason I go back to Revelation is because Revelation is really the fullness of the prophets.
Right.
It's the fullness of the book of Daniel. It's the fullness of Isaiah. It's the fullness of Ezekiel. It's the fullness of Zechariah, Zephaniah, Malachi. Name them all.
Mm-hmm.
It brings it right up into the context of Jesus Christ, which they didn't have back then. They didn't have that context. Those prophets didn't know. They were not able to see. They longed to see those things. They longed to see. There's a key missing here, God. There's a key missing.
Yeah, Jesus.
And the key was not revealed to them. Jesus said, many of these old ones desired to look into the things that you see today. And I'm showing it to you, and you have the privilege of seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
They had limited understanding.
Amen. They tore it up a lot.
Hallelujah. Let's just go to Revelation chapter 18. Maybe I'll finish there for this.
We should go into the next chapter a couple of verses.
Where are we now?
Is that
all right. Well, let's go back to Zephaniah. 700 and what did you say, Rita?
Oh, chapter 2.
No, that's all right. Come on up here, Larry. Come and read it up here. Come on. Don't matter whose voice is on here. Brother's got something to share. Let's share it. Chapter 2 of Zephaniah.
Well, it's important to hear the response of what God's people should be in this time.
Okay.
Gather yourselves together. Ye gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. it may be that ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger.
Yes, this is good. This is good. Yeah, we need to spend a minute here.
Amen.
Amen. What is God asking of us in response to this word? First of all, he's saying, gather yourselves together.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you believe that God wants his body together?
Yes.
And do you know that what Satan's purpose is to separate his body?
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But God said, gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation, not desired.
Yeah.
Undesirable nation.
Right. God's people.
Nobody people. Get yourselves together.
Mm-hmm.
People that don't have a big name. People that are not famous out there. People that don't have a big television program. Whatever.
Amen.
Not known.
Right.
Gather together.
Right.
These are God's people.
Amen.
Okay? Before the decree... Bring forth before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Before the decree is issued, in other words, before the final sealed judgment comes on, get together now.
Mm-hmm.
And settle it where you're going to be and what you're going to be. Get your heart cleansed before the Lord as you gather together. Confess your sins one to another. Confess your faults one to another. Get the clinic business taken care of today. Amen? That's what God is asking for. Hallelujah. Get deliverance.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Get healing.
Yes. Amen.
Get those spirits, those troubling spirits out of you.
Amen.
Get them out of your soul.
Yes.
They don't belong there.
No, they don't.
Seek ye the Lord.
Amen.
See, there is something you can do about it. You can seek.
The Lord.
Well, you say, why do I have to seek? He'll just fall upon me. No. You have to be in a position where you are opening yourself up and you are in a place of desiring.
Amen.
And pressing in and wanting what God has for you. This is what seeking. You know, the Word of God says, seek and ye shall find. Remember Jesus said that?
Yes, amen.
Seek and ye shall find. You know that if you need something, you have to seek and you have to ask Him.
Yes.
Ask
and it shall be given.
Amen. Knock
and
it shall be opened unto you. You know, I've seen more people get employment by applying the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes.
So you don't just get a job by sitting on your bed. that's not knocking on doors. You gotta knock. You gotta get out there and knock on a door or two. Oops, wrong door. Well, okay, knock on another door. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You know, there's a practicality here of the Word of God. And the same practicality, God expects us to seek Him.
Yes.
He is going to come to a people who are open for Him and expecting Him.
Amen.
The people that are saying He seeth not, things go on as they always have from the beginning, nothing's changed, nothing's going to happen. He's not going to appear to those people. They're not interested. Amen. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth.
Amen.
Notice He didn't say all you proud of the earth. He wants the meek to be seeking Him.
Yes,
amen. That means He wants meekness in us too.
I don't want no self-righteousness.
Amen. Which have wrought... Wait a minute. This word wrought means what?
Upheld
His justice. In other words, you have worked justice.
Yes.
You have upheld justice. You have worked justice in your life, in your circumstances, in your dealing with other people, in your family. You have wrought justice.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the description of the meek.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to do it by being proud and cocky.
Mm-hmm.
Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought His judgment. Seek righteousness. Now, how do you go about seeking righteousness? What is that verse? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Right.
And then what?
All these things
will be added unto you. So when the Lord told me that and I wanted healing, I said, oh, it isn't just seek your kingdom. I have to be seeking righteousness too.
Yes, amen.
Oh, how do I get righteous, Lord? How do I get righteous? Man, Lord, I can't finish this in a week. I can only get started, Lord. I've got the rest of my life to seek righteousness.
Yeah, you do.
But my healing came within a week.
Amen.
Because I forgot about the thing that I wanted, and I just began to seek His kingdom and His righteousness. See, seeking these things. Seek meekness.
Yes.
Well, what's that word meekness mean?
Humble. Humility.
Do your little Bible tell you that?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Is that a nice little footnote there? Humility. Meekness, humility. Those are good little footnotes. They're the meaning of these words. It's okay. They have definitions. Amen? It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. So you see, it's possible. God has made a provision, and I think we'll just finish with this. God has made a provision for our hiding place in the day of His wrath.
Look at the next number four,
yeah. I was hoping that we weren't going to get into that, because there's a natural implication here in verse 4, too. It's Gaza. You know where the Gaza Strip is. It's over in Israel, where they... I mean, Israel's walled the whole thing right off, put a fence around and everything. It's so corrupt, it's so wicked, they don't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that all Israel is totally righteous either, but I'm just saying that this is prophetic, this thing about Gaza and Ashkelon. I mean, they've got the same names over there today. The cities named the same names they had in the days of David and Saul. Yeah. Gaza shall be forsaken, Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noon. They and Ekron shall be rooted up. Woe to the inhabitants of the sea coast, the nation of the Cherethites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines, or Palestines, whatever. I will even destroy thee, and there shall be no inhabitant. I mean, it's not just this. He's going against the other nations that are just as wicked. The Moabites, the Ammonites, all the other ites, amen, that have come against God. And now they've got a religion that is so rigid, lay anti-Christ, that the light can hardly get through. Thank God. You know, pray for these people. God is getting through to them one at a time. God is getting through. You know, I have a little website. You know what? Somebody from Egypt came on my website a couple weeks ago. Somebody from Egypt. And you know what? Then I looked at the little map. Somebody right in the middle of Tunisia or one of those other North Africa, right in the middle, out in the desert, somebody came on the website and started looking stuff up.
Amen.
And the thing doesn't record it. I mean, just a fleeting glance doesn't even record it. But if you stay there for a little while, it gets recorded. And I'm thinking, my God, the word is going out to places that you would not expect. Somebody from Korea came on last week.
Amen.
I think it was South Korea, but thank God, maybe somebody from North Korea will come on and get the word. You know what? The boundaries have been taken down. These dictators cannot stop the word of God anymore from going all over the world. They can't stop it anymore.
No, they can't. Amen.
They can pollute it, they can corrupt it, but they can't stop it.
No, they can't.
And the word is going out.
Amen.
And if a man has a desire of seeking God, he can find him on the internet.
Yeah, he's there. He's everywhere.
Yeah, but a day is coming when they'll shut the internet down.
They may, but nevertheless, God will not be shut down.
Amen.
When they shut the internet down, God is going to raise up His sons, and they will not be able to shut down the sons of God.
Amen.